The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. This is Good Shepherd Sunday, of course, and on cycle C, we get this tiny little gospel from John about the Good Shepherd. The other annual cycles have much longer readings where Jesus talks about his flock. But he describes his flock very simply in this very short gospel today. This is what they do. They know his voice, so therefore, obviously, they must be listening, right? They're listening to him. And the Good Shepherd knows them and gathers them together. He gives them life, and they will never die. The Father has placed them in Jesus' hand, and the Father and Jesus are one. I always tell this story, if any of you have ever been to the Holy Land with me on a tour. And if you've heard this before, I apologize in advance, but I think it's one of those things, if you don't hear it or you don't know it, the gospel might not make that much sense, as it could, as it would have when they were listening to Jesus say it for the first time. But one of the places we go is called Shepherd's Field, and it's actually, I think, to the north of Bethlehem in a suburb called Beth-Sahor. And it's the place where the angels came and sang Gloria when Jesus was born. They came to the shepherds and they said, "Come to Bethlehem and see what's just happened." And so we go, and it's a very deep valley. They're losing more and more ground all the time as the Israeli settlements keep taking more and more land from the other side. But it's a broad valley, and it's one of the few places that's kind of green and grassy. There used to be olive trees on the hills across that have been torn out for development. But you go there at dusk, at the end of the day, and all these sheep are in the valley. And the shepherds will go to different places on the perimeter of the valley, and they'll call. And the sheep literally just divide. They go to the voice of their shepherd. It's something that they just know how to do. So when Jesus says, they hear my voice, they know me, it's such a brilliant and simple way of describing this relationship between sheep and shepherd. They listen, they know his voice. There's nothing else they have to do. I wrote down here, they don't have to run laps around the field or prove anything to the shepherd. They just know the shepherd. The shepherd loves them, and they go home together. In a flock, there's no status, structure, except I think maybe if you've got a couple of rams who feel that they have to dominate or start a news channel or something like that. But that's different altogether. It's the relationship that we focus on has got to be shepherd and sheep. And in a way, because the Father and Jesus are one, we always think of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, but in reality what Jesus is saying is this flock belongs to God. God is the shepherd. Now, I want to apologize to sheep because I have called them dumb in my homilies in the past. And compared to other animals, they tend to not to be that intelligent. They're just very simple animals. But I fell into that trap of comparing, right? Like we're never supposed to do. Sheep were never meant to be anything but sheep. They shouldn't try to be something else. They don't need to try to be a goat or a cow. How often have we realized how much time and energy we waste trying to be something or somebody other than we are? And did it ever work? Like, did we ever wish to be like the wolf who's stronger, or perhaps the horse who's more intelligent? But about sheep, they're innocent and they're blameless. That's what sheep are. That's what makes them sheep. And from our perspective, or from what we might feel might be necessary, we could start looking at that as ignorant and naive. But it isn't. The fact is, sheep need to be protected. They have to have a shepherd for survival because they're innocent and blameless. Now, looking from the other perspectives, does this make sheep the standard by which we are to judge all other flocks or species? I don't think so. Just think about the diversity of God's creation and how he upholds the life of all of it in uncountable manifestations. So what we are looking at today is just the relationship of the shepherd and the sheep. Now, in this relationship, there seems to be clearly a hierarchy. The shepherd is the boss, right? Well, Pope Francis talks about this all the time when he talks about the problem of clericalism in the church. In other cultures, we might call this a caste system. Pope Francis recognizes that clericalism is on the rise, sadly, in the Catholic Church. You know what I mean by clericalism? It's that attitude where priests are more important than people, that somehow they've got more gifts or a more special channel to God. The problem with that is if you run into a priest who wants to be put up on a pedestal, you need to look someplace else, because people on pedestals, not only do they fall twice as far, they fall twice as hard. And priests, at the end of the day, are just, they're people, right? And we fall sometimes. But I was at the National Workshop on Christian Unity this whole past week, and clericalism was one of the things we were talking about. And we were talking about how it seems to be on the rise again in the Catholic Church, especially in the attitudes of younger clergy. And I discovered that it's not so much the case in other Protestant churches. It seems like the Protestant churches, their clergy are based on the idea of anti-clericalism. So it's almost like a Catholic, non-Catholic sort of divide that's taking place even in this area. The Protestants seem to be living Vatican II more than we are. Vatican II is when the church proclaimed for the first time that lay people, the sheep, are just as important as the shepherds, the priests and the bishops. I think this is one reason why so many priests and bishops don't like Pope Francis or follow him today. He challenges us. He says that the priest should smell like the sheep, which I love that line. Literally live with the sheep, be part of the sheep. In the seminary, they taught us that if we were going to be dressed up all day long and walk around in inexpensive clothes, we had to be willing to mop the bathroom in those same clothes if an accident happens during Mass. Our equality is rooted with Christ, who, yes, calls himself the Good Shepherd, but in order to claim that kingship over his flock, he himself becomes the sheep, doesn't he? Not just one of the sheep, but the sheep, humanity. Then he willingly offers himself as the Lamb of Sacrifice to save us. And he's the only one who has done that and is able to claim this title of Good Shepherd. In the same way, at the Last Supper, Jesus instituted the Eucharist as the priest and the Passover lamb, but he also washed the feet of those who were at table with him. They did not wash his feet, and he told them that as he had done, so they must also do. It isn't just one or the other, Eucharist or service. Each only makes sense if it is both sacrament and service. Whoever wants to be greatest among you must become the servant of all. So I was thinking about this gospel as I was at the National Workshop this past week in California. Here was a Christian flock, all sheep, but different breeds, I would say, all with one shepherd. And all of these people who are trying to figure out how we stop trying to prove who has the best breeding. No one denies the fact of one sheep and one shepherd, all daughters and sons of the Father. But we have to learn how, in all of our intelligence and cleverness, how to live simply as one flock with one shepherd.